Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
And welcome in. We're going to bet. Might not be the best slate in the world, but we're going to bet on it anyway. Alongside RJ Choppy and John Martin, I'm Chris Mack. This is BetMGMU live coast to coast on the BetMGM network. Wherever you may be inside your Odyssey app, make sure you've downloaded it so you can take us with you and get us in podcast form, not just inside that Odyssey app, but wherever you download your podcasts. And make sure you follow along with all the nonsense and shenanigans and all the best bets too on all your social media at BetMGM Network. You can watch the show on YouTube, the BetMGM Network. Search that. You'll find us. Welcome in as we get ready for week 6 of the college football slate. I mentioned maybe not the best in the world, but we definitely got a few games that we want to dive into. We'll talk about some long shot playoff teams, or at least some teams with some decent odds. Maybe you don't think they're long shots and you're going to want to bet them to make the CFP towards the end of the show. Maybe we'll throw some parlays and best bets at you before we wrap up as well. But we got to start, as much as I don't want to, with a look back at week 5. If you're in Baton Rouge, if you're in Athens, if you're in State College, you're a fan of one of those teams, just buckle up. Let's talk about each one of these losses and get them out of the way and move on, because I don't think any of the teams that lost is out of the playoff conversation, but they definitely didn't look good in some cases, even in double overtime in one case. And let's start, Choppy, with Oregon over Penn State. Had my doubts about this one, I told you guys, even as a Penn State alum. Yeah, convenient I don't have the Penn State hat on this week, huh? Had my doubts about this one, and they came to fruition. Penn State looked terrible for 3 quarters, made a game of it in the 4th quarter, and then had the ball on the 25 in double overtime, and Drew Aller said, F it. Let's throw in a triple coverage on first down and see what happens. Penn State loses to the Ducks 30-24. I don't want to put it all on Penn State mistakes. Oregon looked really good, in particular that defense. Oregon looks like one of the true national title contenders, one of the few true national title contenders we should be talking about after the first 5 weeks of the season, RJ.
Yeah, look, I mean, that was a really fun game at the very end. Penn State did not look like they were a top five team playing at home for the first 2.5 quarters, 3 quarters. And that was disappointing. It was disappointing. It was really disappointing. And, like, you see that certain players kind of show out in these kind of games. Drew Aller showed played well in the 4th quarter, but where was he in the 1st quarter and the 2nd quarter and the 3rd quarter? And then you get over to the Oregon side, it's like, okay, you jump out to a 17-3 lead on the road. I don't need the final score to know who the better team is. Generally, the better team is the team that jumps out to a 17-3 lead. That was fun. It was good to see Oregon do what they needed to do. There were some questions, about Dante, and there's questions about James Franklin. We got answers really to both of them in this game.
John, James Franklin is apparently never going to wash off the stink of his record against top 10 teams. Maybe, presumably, Penn State gets to the playoff and he's got a chance against another top team late in the year. He'll have a chance in Columbus in a few weeks. But as of now, it's It's not even urban legend, because an urban legend would imply that, oh, maybe there's some myth to it. No, it's just fact. It's truth. James Franklin against good teams is, well, exactly what the Titans have called themselves over the last week. Ass.
Yeah. I mean, I think this to me is like, James Franklin hasn't done it. He hasn't broken through. And we can sort of put it all under a microscope, and we could say he should have done this, he should have done that, he should have, you know, should have called a timeout here, he should have made this play, this, that, the other. I think what it really is just like, Penn State is a top 10 program. That's a great thing to be. I think any program in America, if you say, hey, every single year you're going to be ranked in the top 10, they would take it. And Penn State basically has been that since James Franklin showed up. But I think that's all they are. I know that sounds sort of like instinctually negative. It's not meant to be negative. It's just like, that's what, you know, you're not going to be Ohio State. You're not going to be Oregon. You know, you're not a perennial national championship contender. You're a top 10 team. You're going to be a favorite probably to make the playoff every year, but are you going to be a true threat to win the Big Ten? Are you going to be a true threat to win a Natty? I think that answer we know now is no, even as close as they got last year, right? And they did. Without that, again, it's kind of the same thing, the Aller pick. But I just think, like, you're a top 10 program. It's a great thing to be. But that's sort of where the road stops for Penn State under James Franklin. And again, some people may hear that and that may make them upset. Like where I sit, I mean, I think a lot of people would give a lot of things to be a top 10 team perennially.
Yeah, and look, James Franklin doesn't suck. He's not a bum. He's just not the guy capable of taking a perennial winner, like you were describing, John, a top 10 team, and pushing them up that last summit toward the peak, right?
Right.
As a Penn State fan, I hope he proves us all wrong in December and January, but I'm not holding my breath for it. I'm not optimistic.
Right.
I think it's defined just as you have defined it. Choppy, Penn State still minus 185 to make the playoff, plus 140. To miss the playoff. I don't think it's a question, as John just laid out there, of whether they make the playoff or not. The question is, can they finally do some damage once they get there, not against an SMU or a Boise State?
No, they're going to make the playoff. They're going to lose at Ohio State, and they'll beat Indiana at home. And they're going to make the playoff with two losses. And we know what's going to happen. You know, if they get a top half seed and they get to host, you know, North Texas, USF, Tulane, Memphis, they're going to do the same thing they did to SMU last year. And they're going to get to the second round of that, and maybe they get another team that isn't that great, and they walk right through. But the moment they go up against Ohio State or Oregon or Georgia or Alabama or whatever, we kind of know what's going to happen, and that's part of the problem. Like, John's right. They're a true top 10 team. If there was no preseason rankings, though, they're not even close to the top 10 right now because they don't have a resume. Their resume is a loss to Oregon and wins over, like, Old Dominion or something. Like, it's just, you know what I mean? It's just not like
How dare you disparage the likes of Villanova and FIU, RJ Choppy?
And listen, there's nothing wrong with that. We're 4 weeks in. We're 4 weeks in. You're not supposed to have wins over Ohio State and Bama and Oregon in the first 3 weeks of the season, right? I get it. It's okay. A lot of teams are like this. There's plenty of teams out there who play the same kind of schedule over the first 4 weeks. But without the preseason rankings, they're not a favorite to make the playoff yet. They will, because they're only going to have one more loss.
Yeah, and that Indiana game at home, depending on how the Hoosiers are playing at that point in time, will be massive. Because a loss there, I think, completely takes them out of the conversation. That's really the only resume builder left on the schedule for them other than the trip to Columbus in early November. So Penn State, like you guys laid out, a playoff team, but probably no more. Let's talk about the Bama-Georgia game, because we were all in on Georgia. We did not expect Ty Simpson to throw for 275. I can guarantee none of us expected a Caden Proctor screen pass down within the 1 yard line, which is the favorite clip from that game. But John, Alabama surprised a good number of us. They definitely surprised everybody who was sitting there between the hedges in Athens. First loss at home for Georgia in forever. And Alabama firmly inserts themselves in what is quickly becoming a cannibalistic game of musical chairs at the top of the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, I think the issue here is that this, you know, when I thought about a Georgia defense, you know, 2, 3, 4 years ago, I thought about just destruction at the line of scrimmage. Just you weren't running the ball on them. Good luck. Good night. You know, it just you weren't going to find any success. And I don't know if that was like a Jalen Carter thing. You know, maybe it was just a happened to be a generational defense thing with him. And you had Nolan Smith flying around. But this Georgia defense has not been the same the last 2 years. It just doesn't strike fear in your heart the way it used to. I mean, Alabama's receivers were just wide open, you know, and it's just like these things seem not characteristic of a Georgia football team. With that all being said, I mean, they had a chance to take the lead there late in the game on that fourth and short. It was just a play that was called and not executed well, didn't work. And if that does work, like, you know, I mean, Choppy knows how that feels when it's fourth and long with the joint. It wasn't long, but fourth down for the game. Choppy's been on the other end of that. Sometimes it does work. It didn't work against Alabama. I think Gunnar Stockton has shown that he's much better this season than expected. The defense is I think, the issue here. So what that means for them in the SEC – you know, it's probably going to be tough now with the way Alabama is playing, but I still think they'll be heard from in the playoff is my bet.
Yeah, look, I think they will too. I was surprised. I'll be the first to admit, I was very surprised that Bama won this game. I thought they were done. I thought the program was done. I thought Kalen DeBoer was, you know, going to trade in his hoodie and his polo that the Alabama fans can't quit arguing over. And he was going to go back to the West Coast or he was going to do something else. But I was very, very surprised. And it's obvious, yeah, the Georgia defense isn't what it used to be. You know, we scored a ton of points on them at the Tennessee game. And, you know, Bama seems to didn't have a ton of problems with them on the road. Kirby doesn't give up that many points at home. Kirby doesn't lose games at home. I mean, he wins those games. I was surprised. I got to hand it. I am very – very impressed with what and how Alabama has responded.
Yeah, if you still got your doubts about the Tide, plus 170 to miss the playoff at BetMGM, and they got a big one at home this weekend against, Vanderbilt, a big one at home against Vanderbilt. We'll get into that in just a couple minutes as well. One other SEC team I think we have to talk about because they beat LSU this past weekend, 24-19. A direct quote from my cousin who lives in Baton Rouge, has grown up in Baton Rouge and went to LSU. Nuss sucks. That might be going a little bit far, but I will say this. I will say this. The opposing quarterback this past Saturday looked really damn good. I had my doubts about Trinidad Chambliss based on who he'd beaten the previous 2 weeks, but he's now thrown for 974 yards in the last 3 weeks. And he just beat a really good LSU defense, John.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what is wrong with this Ole Miss, or excuse me, this LSU offense. I mean, I really thought of all things, like that was one of the sure bets in college football this year. I mean, because how many teams were going to be able to say that they were bringing back a, you know, an NFL draft pick, a first round NFL draft pick at quarterback as a returner? LSU was one of few, and it looks like a mess. And it's, you know, this Ole Miss team, like, I like them. I love what Lane has done. The fact that he's still at Ole Miss is kind of nuts to me. Because I thought he'd be one, you know, a short tenure and he'd move on to the next thing. So I think he's done a really good job there, but I don't think of Ole Miss as ever having these elite defenses. Something seems fundamentally wrong with LSU. I don't know if that's a Brian Kelly function. I don't know if that's a Nussmeier function, but somebody's got to be accountable, man, because, you know, for you not to be able to win a game, you know, that where the other team only scores 24, that's a problem. That is a real problem for LSU.
Look, I'm not going to tolerate any Nuss slander. All right, he's a DFW kid. We like him. You know, we like his old man. You know, he was on the Cowboys coaching staff for years. But I warned y'all. I said LSU hadn't beat anybody. I said they were overrated and overhyped. And this is another problem that I have with these preseason rankings. Ole Miss gets credit for beating the top four team in the nation. LSU was never top four. They beat a crap Clemson team. And, I mean, who else they beat? Florida. Florida was a bad – you know, Florida was preseason highly ranked. But if you go based on a resume this year, they're not nothing. So, that's – I warn you all. I hate to say it. Toot my own horn. Pat myself on the back. Yeah. They're not nothing.
Yeah, by the way, I do think Ole Miss – I mean, how can you not say they're a contender? I mean, they're doing this with a backup quarterback. I mean, I think that's one of the best stories in college football, the fact that Lane Kiffin – found in this Ole Miss staff, whoever's responsible for it, found this guy from Ferris State. I mean, it's easy to say now that, man, you know, high-level recruit, whatever. This guy was like 700 or something. I mean, at a D2 place like Ferris State, I'm sure they get a call. They say, hey, you got to check out this guy's highlights or whatever. But, hell, a D2 to SEC jump? Are you kidding me? I don't think that has that ever happened? Has that ever happened?
Probably not, but he looks like he has taken everything in stride. Chambliss looks totally comfortable down there in Oxford. We'll talk about that big SEC matchup that we mentioned earlier, Vandy, Bama. That is a massive one on this week's slate. And a couple of huge games down in the Sunshine State to talk about as well, plus whatever else we get into, and long shot playoff teams as well before we get to our best bets. All on the way here on BetMGMU.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
With you every weekend here on the BetMGM Network. Catch it across the network and wherever you may be in the world inside your Odyssey app, Friday nights and Saturday mornings, or just get us on demand wherever you get your podcast. Search for BetMGMU, and you can always watch the show as well on YouTube. Search the BetMGM Network. We got you covered every weekend, including this one, week 6 across the world of college football. A couple of massive games down in Florida to touch on, a big one in the SEC. We might even talk about a Big 12 game that has me asking some questions and could be big as far as the top of that conference goes. I keep calling it a one-bid league, to use a March Madness term for it, but who knows if they'll actually cannibalize each other at the top of the Big 12 or not. Plenty to get into before we wrap up our best bets, some parlays. We even talk some playoff long shots in a couple moments as well here on BetMGMU alongside RJ Choppy and John Martin. I'm Chris Mack. Let's start down in Tallahassee. Florida State coming off a rough one, a Friday night loss at Virginia in OT, 46-38. Miami, they beat Florida State up last season, but last season definitely a distant memory for the Seminoles. Miami, though, for what it's worth, hasn't won in Tallahassee since 2019. First meeting in the series with both teams ranked in nearly 10 years, John. Number 3, Miami, laying 4.5 at number 18, Florida State. A chance for Florida State to prove maybe that that opening win against Alabama wasn't a mirage. A chance for Miami to cement themselves at the top of the ACC as national title contenders.
Yeah, I'm not really sure I would want to lay 4.5 here with Miami. Yeah, and I watched that entire Florida game, and if the Florida offense wasn't so anemic, then that would have been a completely different game. It just would have. Like, Florida's defense played well enough to win that game. I like the under in this game. Miami plays really slow. Cristobal, by his nature, is a super conservative guy. I think Florida State's defense is going to meet the challenge this week. Carson Beck at times this year even when you think about that Notre Dame win, think about how many throws he made that he was just completely bailed out on by his receivers.
Yeah.
I think of 2 touchdowns as being bailed out by his receivers, which obviously changes that entire game if he's not. So I haven't been super impressed with Carson Beck this year, and I think this Florida State defense is going to be challenged this week. I don't know if they're going to win, but I do like the under. I think this is going to be a lower scoring game.
Man, I know the juice is to the over. I'm with you on the under. I don't see this being a massively high scoring game. I have no feel on it. I honestly don't, because Florida State at home, we have seen this year home crowds are like a great equalizer at times. Obviously, it doesn't play that way all the time. Didn't play that way, obviously, with Oregon and Penn State. Didn't play that way with Georgia, Alabama. But you've seen quarterbacks go on the road. Now, the difference is Carson Beck is not going to be scared by the Florida State crowd. Like, he has played in a million road games in big-time environments. But I don't have a great feel on either of these two. I don't know which Florida State team is going to show up. But I do think – I'm with John. I think the under's in play.
Yeah, I tend to lean the same direction as both of you. The under seems to make sense given pace of play and the way this thing will play out. And I think probably both teams kind of try to get a feel for each other early on. You're right, Choppy. Beck isn't going to be fazed by the crowd in this one. And I'm curious to see if this just becomes about which quarterback avoids making a big mistake late. Beck against Castellanos. I think that's what it boils down to. Castellanos was carrying those stones around in a wheelbarrow against Alabama. Does he similarly show out in this opportunity, or does Miami's defense force him into a mistake? That front 7, I think, can get in his kitchen and force him into one late. It's why I would lean Miami, but to your point, John, 4.5 just feels a little too heavy for this one. If you had me in the 3 range, I would play it, but I don't think we're getting back to that number by kickoff on Saturday night, so the under may be the play there. We touched on this one earlier, and it is massive for Livin' Pavia Loca. Number 16, Vanderbilt, going in to Tuscaloosa to visit number 10, Alabama. Bama laying 10.5. I think this could be a whole lot closer here, Choppy. Vanderbilt beat Alabama last year, granted in Nashville, as 24.5-point dogs. Ty Simpson did seem to find some things last week in Athens. I'll grant you that. But how about this number for you, RJ? Vandy against the spread as a road dog since the start of last season, 6-0. I will take Vandy and the 10.5 all day. We'll see if this number moves anymore before kickoff on Saturday afternoon. I feel like it might come down within the 10 because I think a lot of people are going to look at the Commodores here and say, yeah, 10.5, this thing's going to be a whole hell of a lot closer than that.
Yep, I'm with you. I'm rolling 10.5. I mean, you got to give me Diego and 10.5. I'm going to take that. It would have to get – I think this line is a good 3.5 to 4 points off. I think this is closer to a 7. That I wouldn't take Bama, I don't think, unless it got to about 7. Other than that, I'm going to roll with Diego. Diego, he is the Johnny Football of NCAA right now. He's got that Johnny Manziel hoodoo voodoo. That's exactly what he has. He figures out ways to make things happen. Absolutely love him. I think Bama wins, but I'm taking the 10.5.
I mean, it doesn't hurt that he's 36 years old on his 12th year of eligibility or whatever it is. But, John, this would be, if Vandy pulled off the upset and didn't just cover, pulled off the upset, it would be the first time the Tide had lost back-to-back games to Vanderbilt in 69 years. Nice. Is that a possibility?
I mean, in the same way that, like, it's a possibility that the United States government confirms the existence of aliens this year. I mean,
we're not far off. The chance exists.
Is there a chance? But it's not a big one. I don't know if I'm allowed in Tuscaloosa after last week. I picked Georgia, you know, very controversially, very bravely as the home favorite, and Alabama fans wore me out all week. I mean, they acted like I came in and took a piss on their state flag or something. I mean, it was really, and I appreciate the passion. I really do. I think it hurts Vandy that they're ranked, to be honest, because these are the games that Kalen DeBoer loses. I think Vandy should hide their ranking. I think they should try to put a black curtain over it or something, and make everybody think they're not ranked, because those are the games that Kalen DeBoer is known for losing. It's not these. I think he'll have his team ready to go. Obviously, the loss last year. Vandy's not sneaking up on anybody. This Alabama team indeed does look real. I mean, going into Georgia and doing that, that can't be a fluke. So I do like Alabama in this one, and I would lean towards laying the 10.5 as well. But I'm only saying that mostly to get back in the good graces of the Alabama faithful.
I was going to say, that's just because your persona non grata in Tuscaloosa.
I'm pandering.
Really, the entire state, probably.
I have to live in the Southeast, I have to travel through Alabama quite a bit. You know, I don't want my face to be on a bounty or something like that. So,
man, you're far enough west. You don't have to worry about them.
I got to go to Florida though. I'm going to Disney and all that. You got to go through Bama at some point.
Yeah, and, just drive through Mississippi and then go west. Yeah. You get a small sliver by Mobile. You'd be fine.
You go around. Yeah. You get down to the Gulf Coast.
It's not even like Alabama. They're always watching. And it's just amazing. They have such a complex. I'm like, you guys were on top of the sport for a million years. You know, what are you so sensitive for? But
they thought their world was crashing down, and as it turns out, it's not yet crashing down. So they got beer muscles. Georgia muscles.
Somebody has to be the enemy every week, And last week it was me on the BetMGM Network with Alabama fans. I mean, they were wearing me out, man. Good God. So hopefully they'll do that to Vandy this weekend.
Now you know what's going to happen is they're going to call you a jinx for saying that you'd lay the 10.5. And
oh,
then
damn. That would be terrible if that happened. Man, wouldn't it just be the worst thing ever if Vandy went in Tuscaloosa and pulled the upset? I mean, that would just be so devastating. Ooh. Man, I'd hate to see it.
You would never go clap back at each and every one of those 7,000 comments.
You would have some time that day.
No, I tell you what I did. I bought the Etsy witch, and I said, take care of Alabama football this week, Etsy witch. Put a curse on Kalen DeBoer.
All right, one other big one in the SEC. Big because I think there's a legitimate question about whether this could be a game or not. Florida stinks. Let's be honest. DJ Lagway's expected to play, I think. I don't know if that is a good thing or not for the Gators. The more important question here, Choppy, is the opposing quarterback, the number 9 Longhorns, going to Gainesville, favored by 6.5. It's Arch Manning's first start against a power conference team since week 1 against Ohio State. He's averaging 239 yards passing a game. He's had 8 touchdowns in those 3 games since, 2 picks. I'm curious to see whether he actually looks like a legitimate power conference quarterback in this one or not. Again, it's Florida. They stink. But I don't know what Arch has shown us to believe that he may not also stink.
Right. Exactly. And that's why, and I know, I mean, this is a low number. 42.5, that's a bad NFL game. And I think it's too high. I'm taking the under. I like the under. I know that's low. That's a very low. I don't trust Florida's offense at all. Texas's defense is an elite unit. If Georgia had Texas' defense last week against Alabama, they win that game. That's how good Texas' defense is. Florida might score 7 points. Texas might score 10. Like, it's going to be a low-scoring game, another road environment. We know road environments are very difficult. Arch has played one road game that was at Ohio State. He did not perform well at all. And now maybe it's way different in the second game, but that was a month ago. So I am taking the under in this one. I've seen this thing as low as like 5, 5.5 too. And I still don't trust it. I'm taking the under.
John?
I mean, I agree with everything Chubby said. I mean, I hate to just parrot that, but I mean, Arch has not looked like the guy I thought he would be at all this year. And we talked about that Florida defense against Miami. I mean, that's the one unit that is consistently showing up for Billy Napier. It's the only unit that's consistently showing up for Billy Napier is that defense. So I really do. I mean, I think this has the look of a really ugly game. I just don't know how the over gets there. I don't really know what that looks like because, I mean, Lagway's hurt. He's been in a boot. He hasn't, you know, at any point looked like the – that's another guy, right? I'm talking about Arch. I expected a big things from DJ Lagway this year, you know, based on the end of the season he had in 2024, but he just doesn't look like that guy. They don't have that many playmakers, it feels like, on that offense. So rather than try to guess here on the spread, you know, I'll just pay to see it. I mean, go become the greatest show on turf, Florida. Go do it. I mean, because I'll pay to see it. I don't think you can. So I'm going to take like RJ said, it's a crazy total, but I think it's absolutely justified. What would I make it? I don't know. I could see this being a 20-10 type of game. So I would play this down to probably 40.5.
All right, one more game I want to touch on here before we move on to talking about some long shot playoff teams and giving people parlays and best bets. Explain this one to me. I know Iowa State has had a ton of injuries, especially in the secondary, right? They lose two key defensive backs with ACL tears in the last week. So maybe people are just looking at this and going, Brendan Sorsby is going to light them up for 500 yards and 5 touchdowns. But Cincinnati, 1.5 favorites at home against the number 14, 5-0 Iowa State Cyclones, Choppy. Am I missing something here? Because I'm about to jump on Iowa State money line.
Yeah, look, the only thing I can think of as to why this spread is that, oh, it's a road game.
Right.
And it must be at night, but it's not at night. It's at noon. So that doesn't make any sense there. It's got to be injury related, man, because otherwise this just kind of goes into the narrative of how disrespected Iowa State's been this year. And they are being punished because they're Iowa State. They're not sexy. There's no hype to them. Vegas doesn't love them. Nobody loves them. The only people that love them live in Ames. That's it. And there's like 11 of those people. So I like Iowa State here at 1.5.
John?
Yeah, I mean, look, Cincinnati's at home. Obviously, a big win for them last week. Brendan Sorsby gets on Fox. He tells Victor Cruz, I didn't like you growing up. You know, I was a Cowboys fan. He's got some juice, man. He's got some juice. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know what you would make it. Should it be, should it be a pick? Maybe. But I think Cincinnati can get this done at home.
Yeah, if Becht is anywhere close to 100%, and I guess that's still questionable, he left last week's game before coming back. I really like Iowa State to go in there and shut things down and make life hell for Sorsby. So I would be all over Iowa State plus the 1.5 or just ride a money line at that rate. We've still got some playoff long shots that are worth talking about. Plus, we'll give you some of our best bets, maybe sprinkle a parlay, a pizza money parlay in there as well from Choppy. We'll get at it here as we get ready to wrap up BetMGMU right here on the BetMGM Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we've made it to week six of the college football season, which means we are well on our way, firmly entrenched in conference schedules in most spots, and ready to start maybe rolling the dice on some playoff long shots. We'll get you some parlays and our best bets before we wrap up in just a couple of minutes. But there have been some teams, some of whom we've already talked about today, who we may like with some decent numbers to make the college football playoff. Don't forget, you can download BetMGMU in podcast form wherever you get your podcasts alongside John Martin and RJ Choppy. I'm Chris Mack. We can roll through some of your favorite teams here, boys. We can talk about certain teams in particular, maybe teams we've already talked about. For example, Vandy, currently undefeated, plus 375 to make the playoff, but just got done talking about their trip. Impending trip to Tuscaloosa. We talked about Iowa State momentarily. A lot of injuries, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Still undefeated, though. 4-1 to make the playoff. Florida State, 5-1. Cincinnati, 13-1. If there's a long shot playoff team that you like right now, Choppy, give me one.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm not going to throw Vandy in there, and I'll tell you why. Like, it's been a great story. But they have three road games left, at Alabama, at Texas, at Tennessee. They also have home games with LSU and Missouri. That's brutal. That might be one of the worst schedules in the country in terms of difficulty. That is awful. Like, I feel really bad for Vandy fans. So, you know, I would throw Vandy kind of out of there in terms of, you know, a long shot. You know, TCU, Florida State, those were teams that I think you could throw in the long shot category at this point, because I think Florida State's going to wind up finding a way, if they pull this upset with Miami, then they're basically in. But your upset champions to win the Natty, it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. College football doesn't lend itself to that. You know, there are about 15 to 18 teams that have a realistic chance of making the playoff. There's probably only three or four of them that have a realistic chance of making the national championship and winning the national championship. And that's part of the problem.
Yeah. The interesting thing too here, John, is we talk about possible SEC dark horses like Vandy, Missouri, is something we talked about right before the show started. And that is just the cannibalization at the top of the SEC. There's an opportunity where you may end up with 5-6 SEC teams with two losses, and then it really is going to get down to the granular slicing and dicing of who beat who, when they beat them, who was available in that game, how much did they beat them by, home, road. And it does, I think, open the door and the possibility to some of those teams, like Missouri, like Vandy, possibly. But I also think it gives me reason to pause and think, is that number necessarily worth it? Like, if I'm going to bet Vandy to be a playoff team, I got to get better than 4-1. If I'm going to bet Missouri to be a playoff team, as good as Bo Prabula looks, as good as they've looked overall, I got to get better than plus 260.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you ask me, like, you know, bets like this that I would want to make, I would want to say, all right, I know exactly what the path is. If this, this, and this happens, they're going to the playoff. That's why I would endorse a North Texas 5-1 or better bet to make the playoff. Because look at North. I mean, number one. First thing, you know, the winner of the American Championship game is going. It's a wrap. Boise State's not going to the playoff this year. They already lost to South Florida, so I think there's just no question about it. That the winner of the American Championship game is going to the playoff. Now, let's talk about North Texas' schedule. Guess who they don't have to play this year? Memphis. Mm-hmm. They don't have to play Memphis in the regular season. And guess who they get at home? They get South Florida at home. They get UTSA at home. They get Navy at home. Guess who else they don't have to play? Tulane. So they don't have to play two of the three best teams in the American. And if they do play them, the ones they do get, they're getting in Denton. Not that that necessarily is some great home field advantage, but if I have to play them, I'd rather play them at home than their place, right? You play in Memphis, lose. So I think you're seeing, 6-1 to win the American. That's basically make the playoffs as far as I'm concerned. So I would say North Texas 6-1 AAC winner, that's as good as a playoff bet to me. So it would be North Texas 6-1 to win the AAC.
And, you know, that stadium is 15 minutes from here. They have given, because that South Florida game's next week, they've given the students the Friday off.
There you go. No class.
They said it's a cool game. Yeah. It's a Friday night game. And listen, like I always say, you can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning. Right. So they're going to be going. They're going to be ready to go, baby. This is going to be fun.
This kid Mestemaker for them is freaking awesome. And this quarterback, I mean, and again, basically, to me, it's like it comes down to one game. Whereas, like, you know, with Missouri and Vandy and all these other teams, like you're trying to kind of figure it out. If North Texas does what they're supposed to do, I assume they'll be favored in each of these games, other than the championship game, which probably would be a pick 'em. It's a lot worse than plus 600 though, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah. What about teams from the ACC? The only reason I ask is Georgia Tech is still listed at 3-1. I don't think I like them at that number, just given the resume the rest of the way out is trash, aside from wrapping up against Georgia. And Louisville is listed at 5-1, but then I eye up the rest of their schedule. Trips to Miami and SMU. They've still got Clemson on the schedule for what that's worth, although it's at home on a Friday night. Is there another team besides Miami and Florida State who we should be thinking about in the ACC, John?
No. I mean, just to be honest, I mean, I'm not really a believer in and some of these teams. Like, imagine if the American and the ACC merged. This is what it would look like on this graphic, right? You got South Florida, Tulane, Memphis, Georgia Tech, Miami, North Texas. That would actually be a good conference. I'd be excited about that if that happened. Much better than the slap that I'm dealing with now. But no, I don't.
Well, think you're just trying to get Memphis into the ACC in basketball. That's all you're doing.
That is 100% true. Football is actually fine in the American. I mean, North Texas, Tulane, Memphis, South Florida, you know, like you actually have a credible football league. It's the basketball that's the embarrassment. But no, I don't think there's another credible team in the ACC besides those two.
Nope. It is the average Coast Conference. It is, you got two teams and that's it. That's all you got. Clemson ain't going to do it.
No, Clemson's cooked. I'll throw one more team from a major conference at you because we were talking about the depth of the SEC and how they could have four or five teams sitting there with two losses. I'll flip it to the Big Ten page where it feels – I think we all feel fairly good about Oregon, Ohio State, and Penn State being playoff teams. And we've talked about Indiana. Indiana is currently to make the playoff plus 135. That's not a bet I'd make at that price. But right there in that neighborhood is Michigan, and they're 3-1. Now, Michigan's borderline. I think you'd have to have an SEC team move out of the way to open up the opportunity for another Big Ten team. But that's one I might eye up, especially depending on how well they handle their business this weekend, John.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, I think they have a lot of the ingredients that You know, if you're getting a jump from the quarterback, and if he's the prospect that he's looked like at times this year, then, you know, defensively, the floor is going to be, you know, high enough. So I think that absolutely makes sense, especially, you know, in the four figures.
Man, that is one of the easiest schedules for a Big Ten team I've seen. Mm-hmm. That is, I mean, they got Wisconsin at USC, Washington at Michigan State, Purdue at Northwestern, at Maryland, Ohio State at home. That is, you're not going to get a gift like that. If you're in the Big Ten or the SEC and you get a gift like that, you have to find a way in the postseason. That's embarrassing. Michigan should be ashamed. They should be ashamed they're playing that schedule. They really should.
Shame.
Because, you know, like, Indiana's got to play who? They got to play Penn State and Oregon? And they played Illinois earlier?
Gotta
and Michigan's not getting any of those teams?
File a complaint.
How is that possible? See, the Big Ten does it right. They just, you know, they allow these their big-time schools to, you know, every year, every few years, just skate by. That's what you should do. This is smart. I like this.
I mean, to their credit, Choppy, they did go on the road to Oklahoma in non-conference, and they don't have control of their conference.
And they lost. They lost.
All right, we got like a minute and a half. Let's throw some parlays and favorite bets at folks. Choppy, the king of the pizza money parlay, I'll let you start us off.
All right, I like pizza money parlay here. We are going to go Army -7 against UAB. We are going to go Vandy +10.5. And we are going to take the under in Texas and Florida.
All right.
I like how as soon as you gave out the dog started barking. I mean, that's got to be a winner.
Yeah. I'm sure the wife has a delivery. Amazon's probably here. Who knows, right?
Man.
You could have given the dog some credit and made it sound like you trained it for that.
I did.
I'm serious. Like, you almost have to bet Vanderbilt +10.5. I mean, it's like there was something about that spiritually.
Yeah. John, what do you got?
We're gonna go. This is the government shutdown special. We're gonna go Navy and Air Force over 52, because somebody has to do something, right? In the government. I mean, the Secretary,
the Department of Defense, Department of whatever it is,
War, Department of
the
War. Yeah.
The Secretary of War sent a message this week. He said, "I want nothing but the fittest, best soldiers in the world." Okay, in this military. And so that to me says he wants points.
Yeah.
I'm halfway joking, but Navy scores a lot. Our Air Force can't stop anybody. They just lost to freaking Hawaii, who's dreadful. And they can also score too. So I think this is going to be an over. Nobody ever wants to take an over in a service academy game, but I'm going to be on it this weekend.
All right. I'll throw a parlay out there as well. I mentioned Iowa State on the money line against Cincy. I mentioned Vandy getting the 10.5 at Bama. Choppy's with me on that one. Also, Georgia at home, coming off a stinging loss against Alabama, is playing Kentucky. Yes, I'll lay 20.5. Thank you very much. So I'll take all three of those individually, and on a parlay, it gets you to close to 6-1 at BetMGM. And there's nothing like getting in the game and leveling up your next parlay. You can use a parlay boost inside the BetMGM app to boost your potential payout from any winning college football parlay. Go jump on some of those. We'll be back to talk about them next week. For our producer, Zach Krall, for RJ Choppy, for John Martin, I'm Chris Mack. This has been BetMGMU.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.